Fall is just around the corner, and home is the center of it all. At Ashley, seasonal decorating's a breeze with their range of designs and materials. Snuggle up on a family-friendly sectional or an ultra-modern sofa. Or gather outside and enjoy the crisp, cool air with a new fire pit or conversation set. From minor refreshes to total overhauls, Ashley has the essentials to make your home fall functional and fabulous. Shop in-store or visit ashley.com today.
Is that the new iPhone 15 Pro?
Oh yeah, it's made with titanium and the Pro camera is epic. Just got it at T-Mobile.
Nice.
Yeah, and I got their Go 5G Next plan, so now I have the freedom to upgrade my phone every year.
I gotta get to T-Mobile.
Take charge of your upgrades at T-Mobile.com.
Phone now via 24 monthly bill credits plus tax for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. 1 year upgrade requires financing, qualifying device, and upgrading in good condition after 6 months with half paid off.
Alrighty, how you doing? Zach Gelb Show, coast to coast on CBS Sports Radio. Each and every football Friday, right here at 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 p.m. Pacific, we go through every game on the NFL slate for this upcoming weekend and spilling over into Monday night. You got two Monday night football games this upcoming Monday. Saints and Panthers, Browns and Steelers. We give you one thought in every game. I give you a thought. Hickey gives you a thought. And we get to it right now. We start things off in Atlanta. It's the Green Bay Packers up against the Atlanta Falcons. Here's what I want to see this week. Ryan Nielsen, the new defensive coordinator for the Atlanta Falcons, started off with a big bang last week. Jesse Bates was phenomenal, had the forced fumble, also had the two interceptions as well. I want to see what they could do this week up against the Green Bay Packers. And if last week was just a good start and you're going up against a rookie quarterback in Bryce Young, I know that Jordan Love hasn't played a lot, but that Packers offense really got humming in that second half when they started to hand the ball off to Aaron Jones. You also know that Jordan Love threw for 245 yards and three touchdowns. I want to see how improved that Falcons defense is this week and how consistent they could be, because last year that defense was disappointing. You look at all the skill position players, you make the defensive coordinator change, right? Dean Pees goes into retirement, and I just want to see if last week was all right, good start, or if it's something that we could expect more of out of the Atlanta Falcons this year.
I want to see this Atlanta Falcons offense have a little bit more explosion. Week one, we talk about all the weapons they have, right, around Desmond Ridder. When you have Kyle Pitts, when you have Drake London, you had Bijan Robinson with a nice highlight touchdown for
you
the first
catch
of his career.
By Bijan Robinson? That was
nice.
Pretty nice. He made two defenders, thought they were going to have a Bijan Robinson sandwich. The next thing you know, they hit each other. That was cool.
That was very cool, but it's like outside, there's really nothing there. The run game wasn't really explosive. The pass game wasn't explosive, and they had 245 yards of total offense. This is a better offense than that. Can you put it all together here in week number two? And really, I mean, for Drake London fantasy owners, get him on the stat sheet, but also to unlock kind of Kyle Pitts and Bijan and get everyone fed, but also put some explosive plays and points on the board.
Raiders and Bills. It's very simple here, folks. And the Raiders don't have a good defense. I know they did a good job last week, but I think that was more of an indictment on Russell Wilson and the state of Russell Wilson as a quarterback right now. It's all about ball security here for Josh Allen. Josh Allen has to protect the football this week. If a quarterback for a week two game, all things considered, ever needed like a 4 or 5 touchdown performance, no interception, it's Josh Allen. Josh Allen has to protect the football.
In a similar vein, I'll go with the Bills offensive line. Like, look, are they road graders? No. The Jets are a great defensive line. Don't get me wrong. Mm-hmm. So that was also part of, I think, a little bit of Josh Allen's frustration. But we go back to running the ball. How about we get a push off the line of scrimmage? The outside of Max Crosby, that's a defensive line for Vegas that you should be able to control.
Yeah, no Chandler Jones still.
Be able to get a push and, like, frankly, sometimes the running game is just about just getting your offensive line, fire off the ball, and open up holes. Anyone can run through the hole. Get that this week.
You know what's interesting with this? We talk about the Bills so much, and we discuss what the Bills need to do. And it is amazing to me how the Bills still don't get it. They keep on saying how much Josh Allen needs to know when to throw the ball away, know when to not be Superman and run through a brick wall over and over again. You talk about that run game, and how it starts up front with the offensive line, but will the Bills' approach be to run the football with guys that aren't Josh Allen? Like last week, James Cook got 12 carries. Josh Allen had 6 carries, and then like a few other guys had like 2 or 3 carries. Damon Harris had like 1 carry. I don't know if he got hurt or anything like that, but he only had 1 carry in the game with him being a brand-new running back there after having some success in New England. So I understand what you're saying, and in theory, your point's a good one, but is it actually going to be the running backs running the football in front of this offensive line, or is it going to be the same dumb approach of just have Josh do everything and then criticize Josh, saying that he's trying too much and they're not taking the ball out of his hand?
And also, I think part of that just, two on the running backs, are just not even giving them a choice. I think part of it's like, again, some it's on them, some it's on the offensive line.
But how is it on the running backs?
Like,
it's on the play calling there.
But I'm saying, like, they're not giving them the ball. A choice to not think about throwing the ball every play.
But if you are either saying it's RPOs where you're going to either throw the football with Josh Allen having scramble, or then it's not even like you're giving it off to a running back. It's Josh Allen always keeps the ball like in those scenarios. So I just really don't understand the Bills' approach on offense where it's okay, you want Josh Allen to do less, but you keep on asking him to do more. So before I even talk about the running backs, it's, are you going to even use those running backs? Ravens and Bengals. Jamar Chase. This is a big week for Jamar Chase. I love Jamar Chase. We all know Jamar Chase, top 5 receiver in the NFL. But you talked a lot of smack last week, and you were a no-show. The whole passing game was a no-show, including Joe Burrow, only 80-something yards passing. But now you're going up against the Ravens, who are injured on the offensive side of the ball and also on the defensive side of the ball, and they're injured in the secondary as well. If I've ever seen a game that's set up for like Jamar Chase to have 150 yards and 2 touchdowns, it's this one, even up against a good Ravens defense. You need a big Jamar Chase game this week.
Same position group, different team. The Ravens receivers outside of Zay Flowers were a big fat zero last week for the most part. OBJ had one nice catch, but otherwise was pretty quiet. And now no J.K. Dobbins, injuries on the offensive line. Like, this is going to be a game plan you would think that was going to try to pass the ball a lot with Lamar in this game. And if that's the case, again, someone outside of Zay Flowers has to make their presence felt and be a secure, reliable option for Lamar Jackson. Didn't really happen in week number one.
Seahawks and Lions. Here's my thought. Are the Lions ready for the moment? And I think some people are going to say, Zach, hold on. They just went into Kansas City, even though there wasn't Chris Jones. I'm not being Mike Tirico here. And even though there wasn't Travis Kelce and they won the game, they're ready for that. Why wouldn't they be ready for the moment here? Well, how many times did a team get a big victory? And the Seahawks are no slouches. I know they were terrible last week, but that's a good football team. And then you start to feel yourself a little bit and read into the headlines, and I don't want to sound old school here, but have the press clippings, right? And you're loving it and all that great praise, and then you have a letdown game. If the Lions are truly different, this was a big step last week, but if you're able to start the year off 2-0 against the Chiefs and the Seahawks, that would be some scene at the end of the game at Ford Field on Sunday. I want to see if there's going to be a Lions letdown in this game.
Honestly, I know I can't watch this guy per se, but Pete Carroll, I think this game's a lot of Pete Carroll in the sense of...
Here we go.
No.
Hickey
no.
Trashed the guy all last year, proved him wrong after one game. You're back to kicking old Pete. You just hate old people. That's what I've gathered from this.
I love my grandpa.
Grandmas, grandpas, don't be around Hickey. He hates old people. That's what I've learned here.
But you look at last week's game against the Rams, not only did they lose and at the end get their butt whooped in the second half, they mentally, it looks like, gave in. The Rams got in their head. The Rams got them and baited them into taking a few personal foul calls at the end that just they totally lost their composure, lost their cool. They came with a lot of hype. You're 0-1. Now, if you go in and things don't go well in the first half against Detroit, Pete's going to have to do some work here to keep everyone calm and composed and make sure this team just doesn't be like a tinderbox and blow up. I'm watching Pete here in week 2.
Chargers and Titans. Here's a thought. And I know I said earlier there's a lot of pressure on Justin Herbert this week with Austin Eckler being doubtful, but I'm actually going to flip to the other side of the ball, the defense. You got some names on this defensive side of the ball for the Chargers. I know Tennessee, I saw DeAndre Hopkins popped up the injury report, but he should be fine. You have Derrick Henry as well. Like, there's some good names, but you're going up against Ryan Tannehill. I know the Saints have a solid defense. We saw a lot of bad with Ryan Tannehill last week. The Chargers defense was just atrocious up against a really good offense of the Miami Dolphins. I can't see that. Like, this week, I need to see the Chargers defense, them just absolutely punish Ryan Tannehill. This is a big week for the Chargers defense. That's my thought on the game.
My thought is about Ryan Tannehill. It's been a little testy with the media this week. I mean, look, he threw three picks, so rightfully so. A lot of people are banging on him. I'm not trying to hype him up. I'm not trying to tell you he's better than he is. But the reason why I'm looking at Tannehill is not that I expect a lot, but this was just a Chargers defense that was torched by Tua and the Dolphins offense to the tune of 36 points and 466 passing yards. Tannehill should be able to have some success in the air. And if not, again, you're 0-2, so that's not going to start next week or 2 weeks from now. But when you have two quarterbacks you took in 2 years, the clock's going to start ticking on. When's it time to bench Tannehill, and when do we go to probably Will Levis? I think they've seen enough of Malik Willis. But when do we go to Will Levis here and start to make the transition in season to kind of go to a new guy?
Bears and Buccaneers. I want to see if the Baker show's legit. I'll give credit to Baker Mayfield. Rashad White said that he figured out the signals for the Vikings by halftime of last week. And then this team really rallied with Baker Mayfield. And Baker Mayfield, who is now one of the leaders on that team, I guess you could say, played a good second half. Now you're going up against the Bears. The Bears just got their doors blown off by the Green Bay Packers. You would think that the Bears have a pulse early in the game, but I don't know if we're going to see a great Bears team for 60 minutes because the Bears just aren't a great football team. But this is a game that the Bucs should win, and I just want to see if Baker can continue some of the magic from last week into this week and somehow start off the year 2-0 and actually make Hickey look decent for the first time in a long time.
Let's go. Let's go. On the flip side, speaking of let's go, Bears offensive line, Bears play calling. Pretty bad in week number one.
More like,
Couldn't block anyone.
Not
yeah,
let's
exactly
go.
Right. Allow Justin Fields to have a second of time to actually make some sort of read and actually run an offensive play how it's supposed to be run. That's partly on the offensive line to actually block. And also, too, if they're not, on play calling to then adjust and say, okay, we can't block anybody. What else can we do? Because that game plan, I thought last week, was, for the most part, pretty bad.
All righty, Chiefs and Jaguars, excuse me. I am fascinated in this game by the defense for the Jacksonville Jaguars. We all know the Chiefs wide receivers had drop after drop last week. They get Travis Kelce back, so hey, if they had Travis Kelce last week, they probably win the game up against the Lions in a game where the Chiefs only lost by 1 point. But last week, I know that we're not going to praise this Jaguars defense too much for going up against the Indianapolis Colts, but Josh Allen did have 3 sacks in the game. And Trayvon Walker also had a sack in the game as well. Those two guys are the keys to Jacksonville this year, maybe going out there making a Super Bowl run. On offense, I have no concerns. You have a great coach in Doug Peterson. Trevor Lawrence is a stud. Calvin Ridley's great. Christian Kirk's going to be a factor in this game this weekend. Zay Jones made a great catch. You got Evan Ingram. Did I mention Travis Etienne Jr.? He's phenomenal. Tank Bigsby is another player that I'm optimistic on. But you look at this defense, you're going to need those two guys where Josh Allen was the seventh overall pick back in 2019, and Trayvon Walker a year ago was the first overall pick. You need those guys to continue to do what they did last week into this week. And let me just remind people, I know it's Von Miller, and that's an all-time great defender. Last year, we all remember early in the regular season, Von Miller coming off the edge, making that Patrick Mahomes hurry and then throw an interception. You need a stop like that because this is going to be a high-scoring game. It's going to be back and forth. I want to see if Josh Allen and Trayvon Walker can make what looks like a championship stop and a championship play up against the great Patrick Mahomes.
I am still watching, even though Travis Kelce is returning, the Chiefs wide receivers, where their headspace is at. Because, look, Kelce is great.
Yeah, Kadarius Toney's in the DMs too much. Deleting the social media account, bringing it back, chirping, deleting. He's ridiculous.
Chirping Giants fans, making fun of their loss, trying to, ignore his drops left and right. But the reality is, even with Kelce back, the Chiefs still need another receiver to step up and make a play in the playoffs. Look at the Super Bowl last year, right? Kadarius Toney, Sky Moore, touchdowns. Juju Smith-Schuster had a decent game. Like, you do need help outside of just Travis Kelce. It's one game, but where's your mindset now after what was a horrific game for basically everyone in the wide receiver room?
Colts and Texans. We'll see if CJ Stroud plays in this one. I know he was a late addition to the injury report. I think it was a shoulder injury for CJ Stroud. But my thought here is actually with the Colts. So I told you last week I want to see what Anthony Richardson can do. And Anthony Richardson's going to have so much of an impact on offense this year, not only because he's a quarterback, but he runs so much. He throws, like, until Jonathan Taylor comes back, it feels like he's 98% of the offense, if we're being fair here. But last week, Michael Pittman Jr., who I like coming out of USC, and I thought he could have been a first-round pick, had 8 receptions for 97 yards and a touchdown. So far, Michael Pittman Jr. hasn't looked like a number one wide receiver in this league. I want to see if Michael Pittman Jr. could go get, like, a buck 15 and score a touchdown or two, and then you have back-to-back weeks where you're right at close to 100 or a little bit over it, and you're putting touchdowns up on the board. It's a big week for Michael Pittman Jr. against a team that these two teams are kind of even. They both stink. But if I look at it, I think Anthony Richardson, who I know he got banged up at the end of the game, he's the healthier quarterback going into this one. And in the first year, I think he's going to give a little bit extra than what C.J. Stroud is going to be able to do just because of the threat of his legs, too, with Anthony Richardson.
I hope Stroud plays, but honestly, I'm watching his health because he is playing behind an offensive line Sunday that has Laremy Tunsil, my really good left tackle, healthy, and four of the guys that are either second or third stringers. They have a horrendous offensive line that has been banged up. They are deep in the reserves already. It's only week number two. I am truly fearful for his health if he is playing on Sunday behind what is a good Colts offensive line.
Yeah, let's not make him out to be the 85 Bears.
No, I'm not. They're DeForest Buckner, Grover Stewart, Quiddy Pay had a nice sack last week. They're solid. They're good. They should have their way and should be in the backfield a ton on Sunday.
The Rams offensive line, 49ers and Rams, is not a good offensive line. But they did a phenomenal job last week. I want to see, here's my thought in this game, the Rams offensive line, and you know me, I don't usually root for the 49ers, just get lit up this week. Because I don't think last week was a reality. And we know how good the 49ers are on defense. And it annoyed me how all offseason long Hickey was trying to sell me optimism with this Rams offensive line. My big thought in this game is I want the Rams to come back down to earth so Hot Take Hickey could stop trying to pump them up after one victory, which was an impressive victory last week.
I am watching Sean McVay. Look, you talk about getting owned by someone. 8 in a row. 49ers over Rams.
Whew.
McVay, even when they went to the Super Bowl and won in 2021, could not be the 49ers in two tries and frankly got blown out once.
Well,
and ended the season, did not play well.
They won in the NFC Championship game.
They did.
So it's a regular season stat?
Okay. Yes. But still, that has been a one-sided rivalry. I don't know why Kyle Shanahan has so much real estate and whoever the defensive coordinator has been because they rotated through a few in Sean McVay's head. That's been, again, they won the playoff game, which is obviously very important in 2021. But that's been, for the most part, a bugaboo for McVay that he's unable to get over.
Giants and Cardinals. I want to see if the Giants could blow out the Cardinals. I'll give credit to the Cardinals. They were gritty. They were scrappy last week. It looked like at times, right, they were very much alive to go win that game up against the Commanders. The Giants got embarrassed last week. The Giants don't only, like, I kind of agree with what you said more throughout the week. The Giants don't only need to just win that game. I think they need to win decisively because this is not a good Arizona Cardinals team, regardless of what they did last week. And if the Giants, even if they win a game like the Commanders did a week ago, with you factored in getting blown out by the Cowboys week one, I think a lot of people then look at the Giants are like, last year, how realistic is that repeating what they did last year and then improving on it this year in year number two of this regime?
On that note, part of how you blow them out is by having good play at wide receiver, and that's something right now for the Giants. They have a lot of names. They have a lot of bodies in the wide receiver room. No one's really stepped up in week number one. No one's been that alpha guy that Daniel Jones-Kerline, even last year. I mean, you're talking about you're running through some guys where, what was it, Isaiah Hodgins was a practice squad pickup midway through the year, and he's playing significant like games and moments. So it's like one of those where you don't have a lot of proven talent at wide receiver whatsoever. And now for the Giants, against what should be, again, on paper, at least a bad defense and a bad team in Arizona, who can step up here and make some plays to get your season back on track?
Jets and Cowboys. It's going to be a defensive-heavy game. The Jets' plan, if they want to keep it close, is run the ball. And then when you ask Zach Wilson to throw the ball, Zach Wilson has to protect the football. I want to see if Zach Wilson could be a game manager this week up against a great Cowboys defense.
I want to see if the Cowboys defense can cover the spread on their own. 9.5. Because I just don't trust the Jets to move the ball a lot. But also, I don't trust the Cowboys offense to be having their way with the Jets defense either. It's going to be one of those where I think the Cowboys will cover, but I think it's going to be because Zach Wilson does what the opposite of what you're saying. Has a bad pick deep in his own end. Fumbles on a strip sack. Something like that where I can't trust him to make, and what he's probably going to be under duress for a lot of time, make the right decision every time. I think one or two mistakes will be the difference here in a Cowboys cover. But it's going to be, I think, another situation where you have another defensive score for Dallas like last week.
I'm sure you could bet it. I would love to bet a Stephon Gilmore interception this week. I feel like that's inevitable.
Ooh, Commanders, some spidey senses there?
I don't know. I just kind of feel like that's a decent play, and you got a decent chance of that happening. I don't know what the odds would be. Commanders and Broncos. I'm curious here what Russell Wilson looks like. Russell Wilson last week, Hickey saying, he's back, Seattle Russ, after one touchdown. You know, pump the brakes here. But this is a good Commanders defense. It looks like Chase Young is going to play in this game now. So you have a very good front seven. Russ, I don't think there is greatness in him anymore. Can he still be a good quarterback? Sure. But if you start the year off 0-2, after bringing in Sean Payton, and I know that the Commanders are perceived to be a good team, the Raiders not so much, that's an awful look for Russell Wilson. It continues to just pile on the doubt train that I'm probably leading with Russell Wilson. I want to see what Russell Wilson looks like this week. And if you go toss three touchdowns and go win this game and make it look like that there is some life and some gas left in the tank of Russell Wilson.
Offensive coordinators, Eric Bieniemy versus Sean Payton. Like you said, two good defenses, two quarterbacks with shaky week one performances. At least Sam Howell got the win. Obviously, Russell Wilson did not. But who can scheme up an offense that can really have their quarterback make some plays and win what should be a close game?
All right, let's go to Dolphins and Patriots. I want to say the old Gipper, Bill Belichick, the legendary coach, has another great game plan in him. We know last week he did a good job against Jalen Hurts and the Eagles. But now you're going up against this high-octane offense in the Miami Dolphins. No one's really giving you a chance. You're at home. I don't, like, last week people are, like, pumped up at the Patriots. I don't believe in moral victories. I want to see if Bill Belichick could go slow down Tyreek Hill, confuse Tua Tagovailoa, and the Patriots win the game outright. That's what I want to see. I don't think it's going to happen. I think the Dolphins are going to win the game. But I want to see if last week was the sign of something and it just didn't go their way. And if they beat the Dolphins this week at 1-1, you start to have a little intrigue about the Patriots, maybe a little bit better than what we thought heading into this season.
Dolphins pass game last week obviously got a lot of attention for the right reasons, but really it's going to be, I'm looking at the Dolphins run game. You're not throwing for 466 yards every game, even though Tyreek Hill may be uncoverable. No matter what you do defensively, you're still going to need some sort of semblance of balance to have a lot of success this season. Can you run the ball here in week two and keep Bill's defense honest?
Saints and Panthers. Derek Carr made some big throws last week up against Tennessee. Now you're going up against a Panthers defense that is solid. But I want to see if Derek Carr could go have the commanding victory where the Panthers are a team off, you know, they already have J.C. Horn injured once again. It stinks. Offensively, their line is bad. Bryce Young has no one really to throw the football to. I think Miles Sanders is overrated. The Saints should win this game big. I want to see if Derek Carr could go lead a convincing victory up against the Panthers.
As you said it before. Can you give Bryce Young a chance if you're Carolina? Whether it's the game plan with Frank Reich, whether it's the offensive line, whether it's just a receiver being an actual reliable guy, someone please give Bryce Young a chance here in week number two to have some sort of success, especially on a nationally televised game.
Browns and Steelers. Is there any life with the Steelers offense? There's names on the Steelers offense. I know Deontay Johnson is hurt and he's going to miss some time, but is there any life here with the Steelers offense? There's too many names. I know the Browns have a good defense, but last week, I know the 49ers are a heck of a football team. It was a complete and utter no-show by that Steelers offense.
Deshaun Watson, can you play? Can you play up to your contract? I know it was crappy weather last week. So
he was bad last week.
I don't think he, honestly, I did not think he was that bad.
Oh, and a lot of you weren't say watching that. The game then.
I watched the whole game. I did not think he was that bad. Again, weather conditions obviously play a factor, but especially the second half, I thought he looked more comfortable. Now you're not going to have a monsoon in Pittsburgh here on Monday night. You should have good conditions to throw the ball. This is your chance to put up on the stat sheet what your contract suggests you should be doing.
So just a quick clarity here. Deontay Johnson, he's day-to-day. But he did not participate in practice. So I don't think it's going to be likely that he ends up playing. I shouldn't have said he's going to be out for a few weeks. But no one likes to carry the water more for quarterbacks that have these big contracts and do less than Hot Take Hickey. Sean Watson, now Russell Wilson, all these guys that you keep on carrying the water for. Can they actually do something before we keep on saying that the old versions of them are actually back? All righty, Zach Gelb Show, CBS Sports Radio. Our award-winning picks that aren't really award-winning will come your way next.
Imagine you're looking at a balancing scale with everything you do for other people on one side and everything you do for yourself on the other side. If it isn't balanced, maybe it's time to spend a little more time on you. And therapy is a great place to start. BetterHelp connects you with a licensed therapist online who can help you find that balance and stick to it. Visit BetterHelp.com/positive to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp.com/positive.
Facts are facts, like how contributing to employees' financial security makes them want to work harder for their company. In fact, according to a 2023 study by Principal, 87% of employers say that better employee financial security means employees are more engaged and productive at work. The fact of the matter is that employees want to feel financially secure in their future. So consider this. Principal helps you invest in your employees by providing customized benefits and retirement plans to help keep your employees more engaged and productive. When you take care of your team, they take care of business. That's a fact. Learn how Principal can help you find the right benefits and retirement plan for your team at principal.com/benefits. Products and services offered by member companies of the Principal Financial Group, Des Moines, Iowa. For important information, visit principal.com/disclosures.
I'm here to tell you about Pom Pom at Home, where comfort meets elegance. Pom Pom at Home is offering 20% off site-wide for a limited time. See why so many of the top designers use Pom Pom's luxury easy care bedding. They have created a timeless, beautiful, coastal living look that incorporates subtle tones and natural fibers, offering a unique touch. Create your dream bed now. Get 20% off sheets, duvets, throws, and more right now at pompomathome.com. Easy to use, easy to love luxury bedding. Just enter code POMPOM at checkout.
The venue's set. Families coming in from all over. It's her quinceañera. With all the excitement, it may be easy to overlook COVID-19. It's still a risk, and that's why it's muy importante to get this season's COVID-19 shot ahead of time. It helps protect against COVID-19, which can cause severe illness and hospitalization. So let's set the date, vaccinate, and celebrate. Check eligibility and schedule this season's COVID-19 shot on the CDC site, vaccines.gov. Sponsored by Pfizer and BioNTech.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show.
All right, it is The Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. By the way, you can stream the NFL on Westwood One for free, and it's all sponsored by AutoZone all season long. You can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on the Odyssey app. Get in the zone, AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free at your local AutoZone. Get in the zone, AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in zone, AutoZone. Give me a little NFL picks music, please. All righty. The snail race here. If Hickey loses this bet, he has to eat escargot at the end of the season at the Super Bowl in Las Vegas. And if I lose this bet, I have to eat that scorpion lollipop that Hickey got me as a gift when he went out to the desert in Arizona. After 1 week, the good guys are up. Yours truly, 2-1. Hickey, 1-2. At least you got one, though, Hickey. I've done that before in week one, go 0-3. That's never fun. So I give you credit.
Unlike the Giants, we were on the board in week one.
You were like the Colts. You showed some life, but you ended up being a loser. So I start things off in Jacksonville. I love the Jaguars this week. I think the Jaguars are going to win the game outright. So with that being said, the spread is Kansas City -3.5. At worst case, I really do believe this is a field goal game. So I love that hook as well. I think Jacksonville, though, is going to win this game. I like the Jaguars plus the 3.5 points up against the Kansas City Chiefs. That's my first pick.
Can I do my dog first or do I save it for last?
You could do whatever you want. All you need to do is pick one dog. You could pick two. You could pick three if you want, but there just has to be one. You could throw the dog whenever you want. You give me a favorite. You give me a dog. Give me a favorite. Whatever you would like.
I got my only win last week on a dog. Thank you, Browns, plus 2.5.
Here we go, Brownies. Here we go. Hoo, hoo.
I'll let you do the woofing because, yeah. We've heard enough of the high-pitched woofing for this week for sure.
You're like a neutered chihuahua with that cone on his head.
We're going road dog here in week number two. I don't know why this betting line has changed. It's changed in the last day or so. Maybe the sharps coming in late. Colts plus one on the road in H-Town. C.J. Stroud, I hope he plays. I want to see number two overall versus number four overall. On the injured list with a shoulder injury, questionable for the game. O-line stinks, is banged up right now. Colts win this game, whether Stroud's on the field or not. Colts plus one, give me that.
That's great. I love that you take the Colts plus one. Because now I can root for you to be wrong and hope you're wrong. I don't know if you're going to be wrong. And also means you get to root against the Indianapolis Colts. So I appreciate you doing that. And surprise, surprise, it only took until week two for Hickey to pick the Colts. Alrighty, my next pick. I love the Niners this week. I love the Niners defense. I think Brock Purdy's going to be rocking out with his Brock out once again and looking pretty awesome. And Run CMC is going to continue his quest, as predicted, to be the offensive player of the year in the National Football League.
In the National Football League.
I will go with the San Francisco 49ers to win the game on the road at SoFi Stadium. So this is basically a home game for the 49ers because there are 49ers fans. I don't think there are Rams fans, or there are very few of them. But I like the Niners to go into SoFi, which is a beautiful stadium, win the game, blow out the Rams, and cover the 7 points. Give me the Niners, laying seven.
I'm going to go with the theme here for the second pick as similar to the first pick. Picking against banged-up teams. The Ravens are a mash unit right now. Injured coming into the season. Injured coming out of week number one. Offensive linemen. Secondary is banged up as well. Cincinnati is prime for a bounce back after a rough week number one. 3-point favorites. I'll take the Bengals minus three here in week two for a big bounce back.
I love that pick. I almost just considered, we could pick the same game. I had in my notes Giants minus 4.5, and I was debating before you said that to take the Bengals minus 3, but I'll stick to the script. I'll be like the NFL. I will stick to the script. I like the Giants this week. The Cardinals, they gave a good effort last week. Maybe this could be a Miami Dolphins situation from a few years ago where the owner and the front office is tanking, but players and coaches don't tank. But this Giant team, I know that I expect them to regress this year. I know I didn't pick them to make the playoffs. But are the Cardinals going to be able to give you a really good effort in back-to-back weeks? And this could light a fire under the you-know-what of the New York Giants after getting embarrassed, emasculated by the Cowboys on Sunday Night Football, where they lost the game 40-0. Give me the Giants in this game, and give me the Giants laying the 4.5 points.
Finally here, my third pick. I'm rolling with a guy I've been backing who made me look very good. Granted, all just 1 week, but did make me good last week. Baker Mayfield and the Bucks now returning home after their triumphant pillaging of the Vikings up there in Minnesota. Minus 2.5 at home against the Bears, who did not look very good whatsoever in week number one. I think that will continue here in week two. The Bears' sorrows. Bucks minus 2.5 at home. Give me Baker time for 2 weeks in a row.
You going back to the mustache?
I may do it anyway, honestly. The way if he keeps rolling here and this team is like 10-0. Right now, and we're talking about them as maybe the team to beat in the NFC.
10-0. What crack are you smoking? You know they play the Eagles next week.
Well, then we're talking about them as the best team maybe in football. Yeah. If they're 10-0 and beat the Eagles.
Whatever the number is next week, just out of principle, I may lay it with the Philadelphia Eagles. So here are the picks for week two. On the line for Hickey, if he loses the picks on the season, he has to eat escargot, which he's terrified of. If I lose, I have to eat a scorpion lollipop that Hickey got me. I'm 2-1. Hickey's 1-2. My week two picks, Jaguars plus 3.5, Niners minus 7, Giants minus 4.5. Hickey's going with the Colts plus 1, the Bengals minus 3, and the Bucks laying the 2.5 points. Those are the picks for week two right here on the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. We'll come on back on the week out in style with a closing bell, and we'll tell you whose stock is booming, whose stock is dooming.
When you need to know what's happening, it's time to get in the huddle.
The big question is Desmond Ridder. The problem that I think a lot of fans are having and looking at Desmond Ridder is they just haven't seen enough. They want to trust him. They want to believe. But I will tell you this, Jason. In the training camp sessions that I had a chance to go check out, the one thing that bothered me was his aggressiveness to throw the football when he needed to.
Listen and subscribe to In the Huddle, available on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcast.
Selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
As easy as pie?
Sure. All you have to do is enter your license plate or VIN.
As easy as a stroll in the park.
Okay, then just answer a few questions and you'll get a real offer in seconds.
As easy as singing!
Why not? Schedule a pickup or drop-off, and Carvana will pay you that amount right on the spot.
As easy as playing guitar.
Actually, I find that kind of difficult. But selling your car to Carvana is as easy as...
can be.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to get an instant offer today.
You're listening to The Zach Gelb Show. Another day is in the books, and we're taking stock of the sports world. It's time to find out who's up and who's down. Let's end the day right and hit the closing bell. Only on the Zach Gelb Show.
And you can think of Riley Auto Parts for your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts. O'Reilly Auto Parts. I remember when DeAndre Swift committed to Georgia. I actually did an interview with him in a small local AM radio station when I was working in the Princeton and Trenton area. And I've always been a big fan of DeAndre Swift. And last night, right back in that New Jersey, Philadelphia area where he's from, returning to Lincoln Financial Field after starting his career with the Detroit Lions, he put up a big performance with eBay Guaranteed Fit. You are the MVP because when you see the green check, you'll know that part fits your vehicle. eBayMotors.com. Let's ride. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. And Eagles running back DeAndre Swift had a special homecoming, rushing for 175 yards and a touchdown. In Philly's 34-28 win over the Vikings on Thursday night, Swift went to high school in Philadelphia as he rushed for over 100 yards for the first time since week one of 2022. Give a stock up to DeAndre Swift. Let's hear some audio. So it's never easy when you lose, especially when you are Nick Saban and you don't lose often, and you're the head football coach at Alabama, and every time you lose, people start to say, is Nick Saban starting to lose some speed off his fastball? Is Nick Saban inching closer and closer to retirement as the game passed Nick Saban by? I thought Nick Saban provided some levity on the Crimson Tide Sports Radio Network on his weekly radio show when he had a caller, I guess as a regular caller, Pee-wee, and basically asked Pee-wee what's wrong with the Alabama offense.
Coach, how are you, sir?
Well, Pee-wee, I've been wanting to talk to you all week, man. I mean, we got to firm up the pocket. We're setting too soft. We're getting pushed back in the middle. All right, everybody thinks we can't hold up against the blitz, but they're sacking us with four-man rush, 1 3-man rush. Only one sack came off of a pressure, so I wanted to ask you what the hell's going on.
Well, I believe you covered it all right there, Coach.
So I'm just going to assume here, and you know what happens when you assume, that Pee-wee is a regular who is probably a little bit extra critical than you would think of the Alabama football fan because of how successful they've been. And instead of Pee-wee being able to ask Coach Saban what the heck happened, he basically just so eloquently, the coach, Nick Saban, went through all the problems and left Pee-wee speechless. I like that approach there from Nick Saban. That was fun. Give him a stock up. Hickey, let me just throw this by you real quickly. I want to play the Olbermann audio here. From Aaron Rodgers. So Keith Olbermann was basically celebrating the Aaron Rodgers injury. That's the nicest way to put it. Regardless of what you think about what happened with COVID and the way that Rodgers handled this and what your political beliefs are, things like that. Like, I'm vaccinated. I would not be celebrating, though, an injury because someone was against the vaccine. That just makes no sense whatsoever. But that's why Keith Olbermann is a douche in just saying it in the nicest way possible. So Aaron Rodgers on the Pat McAfee show, and it was brought up some of the people that were questioning Aaron Rodgers and what really happened with the injury. One person said, oh, it was his ayahuasca use that caused it, and then Pat McAfee brought up what Keith Olbermann said. This is on the Pat McAfee show.
Keith Olbermann said that...
You love him, though.
Because you're not vaxxed, that's why it happened.
Yep. Yeah, get your fifth booster, Keith.
Anyway.
I actually think that's hysterical. Because you know Keith Olbermann's going to lose his mind about it. And once someone's like celebrating you getting injured, you know that there's no way to have like an actual conversation with that person. So then just make it personal if you're Aaron Rodgers for having Keith Olbermann make it personal first. I thought it was classless what Keith Olbermann tweeted the other night, and he won't stop. That's because he's just a jerk looking for attention. But give Keith Olbermann a stock down because he just got body bagged up by Aaron Rodgers. The Vikings 0-2. Who would have thought that Kirk Cousins would start off the year throwing over 700 passing yards in two games, having six touchdowns and a pick, and they still don't have a victory? That's just, ugh, tough. Really tough. Now, the Eagles are the better team. They made that game look a little bit close early on, and you thought you were going to have a game, and then the next thing you know is just a complete blowout for the Eagles. I know they only won the game by 6 points, but you never felt like in the second half that that was actually going to be a game. So give a stock down to the Minnesota Vikings. Chargers lose this last week. We'll see how the Chargers are going to bounce back this weekend. But there is going to most likely be no Austin Eckler in this game up against the Tennessee Titans, as Austin Eckler right now is listed as doubtful to play in the game. That's unfortunate. I like Austin Eckler. Tremendous guy, tremendous football player, and also helps a lot of fantasy football teams. But the health of Austin Eckler, doubtful right now. Unfortunate. Give him a stock down. Did you see this after the game? And I know people are just so insensitive and idiotic and stupid when it comes to sports. But like, if people are sending, and I saw the messages that Alexander Mattison posted, who's like a stand-up dude. We've had him on this show before. I like him a lot. Over anything. Why you would send racist messages is disgusting. But you're sending a message because Alexander Mattison, what, fumbled the football? Like, if you want to tweet someone, you suck, or you stink, or you're horrible, all right, like, you could argue it, but it's not the end of the world. But to bring race into this, it's absolutely just disgusting. You got to be appalled by it. And whoever's doing this, you're a loser, all right? It's that simple. And it's just terrible what you read from those messages that Alexander Mattison received. No one should have to deal with that. And at the end of the day, it's just a game. But I don't even want to bring up the game here because the people that are sending this stuff to Alexander Mattison, I'm sure, do this each and every day when they're living life just to other people, which is scary. But give a stock down to these morons that are sending racist messages to Alexander Mattison. Alrighty, we're gonna have some fun with this. So Fox 29, local TV station in Philadelphia, I guess they were doing some fan interviews before the game. We all know the Eagles chant, right? Hickey, can you give me a good Eagles chant here?
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
Oh my God. I thought Jack Stearns, "Let's go Jets," was bad. That was a bad. It's not as bad as Jack Stern. You were like,
E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles. That did not sound.
It's E-A-G-L-E-S, Eagles.
You sound like a meathead. I'm trying to sound like a
But that's what you're supposed to
voice.
Sound like.
Man,
when you're doing the Eagles
voice.
Chant, you're drunk as a skunk. You got to sound like a macho man meathead. You know, that's what you're supposed to sound like there when you do the Eagles chant. And also, I had the unfortunate pleasure of seeing you in person. Whatever fist pump you did was, I don't know, not very Philadelphia-like. But anyway, let's hear how one Eagle fan had a little bit trouble spelling Eagles. What's up with the sound quality there? Where did we record that off of?
TV, unfortunately.
Really?
I raised it a little bit, but yeah.
There wasn't a better feed than that? Can you play that one more time and jack it up a little bit? Did she say E-L-G-E-S Eagles? How'd she spell that there?
E
J?
Let me try to find this one more time. E-L-G-L-E-S.
Go ahead. Play it again. Did she say E-L-G at, like, what?
I have a better version here. Here we go.
Yeah, go ahead.
Let's go, Birds. E-L-G-S-E-L-E-L.
I wonder when that pregame started. Give a stock down to that lady. Alrighty, we'll end on that one. That's a fun one to end on. I don't need to say anything else. It is the Zach Gelb Show on CBS Sports Radio. It's funny how all of a sudden we magically have a good version of it. But what can you do?
Big thanks to Ryan Horvat for joining us. Also, big thanks to Herm Edwards as well. I'll be here Sunday starting at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific for 8 hours of Eye on Football. Hickey, I believe, is hosting his show tonight, right? 2 to 6 a.m. Eastern, Friday into Saturday, the Hot Take Hickey show, or the not the Ryan Hickey, Hickey at Night. Thank you very much. Make sure you tune into that. Give him a call. Drop him a Hot Take Hickey, why don't you? We'll be back Monday, 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 Pacific. Have a great and safe weekend, everybody. We out. Bye-bye. L'shama tova. Peace.